Welcome to Spark the Podcast. We are a group of Christian creatives seeking to connect with God and grow in our faith.
We believe in the power of testimony and the blessings that come with being in community with others. Let's be honest, we just can't do it alone.
We want to invite you to be a part of it, whether your coffee is running low or you're on the go. Come join the conversation. Hi, guys, and welcome back to Spark the Podcast. I'm McKenna here with my friend Jenna.
Hi.
And we're hosting today, but we also have our friend Holly Silva here. She is a singer and songwriter of pop country and contemporary Christian music. She loves expressing herself in writing by pulling from real life experiences. Her most recent song, Jesus Eyes, was written about the passing of her beloved mother, Marianne Silva, who entered heaven August 7th, 2021. Through her hardships, specifically the loss of her mom, her faith took a whole new meaning to her. Now her goal is to write music that people can relate to, find comfort in, and ultimately bring glory and point people to Christ. Welcome, Holly.
Hi, I'm so happy to be here. So pumped. We are so happy to have you. So Holly and I actually went to high school together, and she is just so amazing and truly a creative at heart. You know, she has this incredible voice. She is also an incredible baker. She actually made this cake that people are still talking about for my bridal shower. It was so good. And she made like 200 cookies for my wedding. It was just absolutely amazing. And she's just an awesome person. So we're just so excited to have you on today.
I'm so excited to be here, and thanks for saying all those sweet things. And beforehand, we were talking, and I was just like, I thought Jenna was like the most beautiful person inside and out. And I just have to say it for everybody to know, because I just wanted to like be like her in high school. I never told anybody, but like she just would be up on stage singing, and she had the most beautiful blonde, like curly hair. And like, I need to make my hair look like that. And also just like with the wedding and everything, I was like so honored to make that cake for you. And when you asked for peonies, I was so excited because I love peonies. And so I'm just very excited to just be here and be a part of this. Yeah.
Holly, awesome. That's like the sweetest thing ever. Thank you.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. Well, here at Spark the Podcast, we love to dive into testimonies, and we love to hear your testimony, Holly, and how you became to believe in Jesus and how that has impacted your life.
Well, whenever I've been asked about my testimony, I usually say that it's been rocky, and up until the point of the passing of my mom, there wasn't like a clear point when I was just like, I believe in Jesus. I think that I've gone through waves where I am in my faith, and then waves of just like running away. And so when it comes to my testimony, I think that there's moments in my life that led me to finally surrendering my life to the Lord. You know, I've been through the loss of my grandfather. I've been through pretty difficult breakups that, you know, were painful to go through. And I think that I saw, you know, my dad lost his job, and that was really hard on my family. And so I think throughout life, I kind of questioned, you know, is God really good? And is he even real? And I think also I went through moments of telling myself that I was surrendered to the Lord, but not truly, and not wanting to give up certain things, whether it was a relationship. You know, for instance, with me and my first love, I, you know, really, really struggled with choosing between a relationship with the Lord and then also wanting to put him on a pedestal. And so the Lord was like, you're done with this relationship because you're not putting me first. And I think that was one of the most difficult things that I had to go through at the time. And that was my first time of kind of understanding that my worth doesn't come from a person. It comes from the Lord. And, you know, from there, it kind of started progressing. I went to college and I met some wonderful people, and I truly believe they were godsends in my life. Two of my best friends, specifically Hannah and Isabel, were genuine believers, and I'd never met anybody like them before. No other girls really my age that, you know, sat down in the morning and read their Bible and would give me true biblical wisdom and advice. And they were so mature in their faith in comparison to me. And I just leaned into them a lot during that time. And I wanted to be more like that. And I wanted to have faith like that, but I still wasn't there. And I started finding my worth in things and value in things that still were of the world. Just, you know, mm-hmm. okay, if I can't find my worth in a guy, then I'll find my worth in career and in grades and success in career. And still that wasn't fulfilling me. I lost my grandpa during college, and that was my first time losing someone super close to me and really wondering what happens to us when we die. But then you also, as hard as it was for me, I was like, okay, well, I knew this was gonna happen, right? I knew that my grandpa was gonna pass away and that he wasn't well for a really long time, so there was a sense of relief with that, and I had peace with it. And I feel like I went through a time of, again, questioning, is God good? Thinking I've surrendered everything to him, and then going through those rocky waves again of pulling back. And then when I graduated and I graduated from college, something that I did throughout college was singing and theater, and that became a huge thing. I always was singing as long as I can remember. I loved writing music and journaling as long as I can remember. And I ended up working in Disney, and I was on the Jungle Cruise, and I ended up losing my voice. I got vocal nodules, and my voice was destroyed. So I used to be able to sing pretty high notes, and like my mix was pretty strong. And I finally started feeling confident in my voice, and I was like, I can do this. Like, if I want to pursue music, like, I feel confident where my voice is. And then that was completely taken from me. So I was just super depressed, and that was during COVID. So COVID mm-hmm. had just hit, and singing was something that brought me a lot of peace, and it was like therapy to me, and I couldn't even sing. And whenever I would try to sing, it just made me really upset, because like when I left Disney, I literally sounded like an 80-year-old smoker. My voice was shot.
Oh no. And you have such a beautiful voice.
It like took a lot of time. Like I didn't sing for probably a year.
Wow.
I did some like speech pathology, and I took some lessons, and I tried to, you know, get my voice back to where it was. And it's still not exactly the same, but anyway, that's besides the point. That was just another thing that was like, okay, well, who the heck am I without singing? Because I've been doing that my whole life, and that's something I love so much. And so I began diving into the Word, but then I ended up having a lot of questions during the pandemic. I was very confused. I was just like, how does this make any sense? It's not logical to me. You know, if God is good and heaven's supposed to be a place where, you know, sin doesn't happen, then how, what the heck was Satan even there? And I would ask my granddad questions, and he was just like, there's things that only God knows. And I'm like, that's not a good enough answer for me. And I started becoming very closed off at that point. I was like, you know, I don't even want this anymore. I'm going to keep trying, because maybe I'm the one that's, you know, not seeing things right. My mom is a beautiful believer, but I always thought that she saw the world through rose-colored glasses, and I was like, I don't know how she believes this stuff, but, you know, I'm trying. I was really trying. And I did, I go back to what I was saying before. I really wanted what my mom had. I wanted what my friends had. I didn't understand how they were so able to believe mm-hmm. and have such a unwavering faith. I just didn't get it. And so I moved to Georgia. I remember having a conversation with my mom and saying, I hate my life. I am depressed and I don't want to live in New Jersey anymore. So I'm quitting my job and I'm moving to Georgia in 2 weeks. And
wow,
I remember she was crying and she was upset. My parents were obviously concerned for me, obviously.
Yeah.
I was giving up a job where I had full benefits and I was being paid well for a internship that paid me nearly nothing for a church in Georgia. And I was going to go live with my best friend and her family. And I'm like, we'll see where this leads me.
Yeah.
Again, chasing after just something to bring me happiness, because no matter where I was, no matter what I did, I couldn't find happiness. Like, I was always I was never content. I never truly picked up my Bible the way that I probably should have. I led a Bible study for a time and it was good. And then I led it through TikTok, and there was just a bunch of people that sent in like so many questions that I just didn't feel qualified to answer. And that's, I think, what had my wheels turning. And I'm like, what the heck do I even believe in? I can't answer these questions. I'm not qualified for this. And so that was before I quit my job and moved to Georgia and everything. So I moved to Georgia and I was there for 2 months. I was working for a church and I was really, really struggling with my faith at that point. And I met some really great people in that church. But it was a time in my life where still I didn't feel qualified. I was with kids and I didn't feel qualified to be leading them, and there would be girls coming up to me crying to me and saying they want to ask Jesus in their heart, and I felt like I can't help you. Like, I can't sit with you and pray for you and tell God to come into your heart when I don't even know if that's something I believe in. And so I remember that moment very well, and I was just like, what the heck am I doing? I had a conversation with my friend. We were at the pool, and my friend Vanessa, she's a huge part of the story because that's my best friend who I was living with in Georgia, and she works for Passion City Church now. She's a resident, and she's a really, really strong believer, and she's one of the girls that I just wanted what she had, and I just was hitting her with so many questions because at this point, I'm like, I just want a reason to not believe. Like, I just need a solid reason to not be a part of this anymore because this is exhausting. I've tried so much to just give my life to God, and I've tried so much to, you know, seek Him through my life, you know, whether it's through theater, whether it's with relationships, but looking back, I never actually truly surrendered. I just was like giving Him the bare minimum. And so I was hitting her with tons of questions and I was honestly trying to stump her. I was really trying to get her to, you know, be like, you know, Holly, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. And, you know, if you don't want to believe, then go ahead and don't believe. And you know, maybe you're right. But she didn't do that. And so probably 2 weeks after that, I was on the phone with my mom, and I said, "Mom, I don't want to live in Georgia anymore." I'm like, "I need to move on to the next thing. This isn't making me happy. I'm mad. I'm depressed. Like, this, I don't want to work at this church. Like, I feel like I can't do this. I'm just going to go and do something else." And she, of course, being the sweet mom she is, she's like, "Are you sure? Like, okay, I'm going to be praying for you. And, you know, if this is what you feel you need to do." And that was the last conversation I had with my mom. Was,
wow.
She, and I actually, now that I'm saying it to you, it's like so poetic, or not poetic, but it's so like, not ironic, I don't know the word, but it's crazy how that was the last conversation where, again, I'm trying to seek happiness and validation for my mom, for her to tell me, go and do whatever you want to do, whatever makes you happy. Even though my mom always, you know, poured in faith into me, and she prayed for me, and she tried to give me biblical wisdom, she ultimately knew that I'm a pretty headstrong person. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And she couldn't change my mind. If I had my mind set on something, then I'm going to go and do it. So I said, "Okay, Mom, I love you. I'm going to go out to dinner with a friend." And she's like, "Okay, Holly, I love you too. Like, I'm so proud of you." And she showed me like the office. She was redoing my dad's office as a surprise for him when he came home from a business trip.
Aww.
So that was her last act of service and love for him. But I went to dinner, and I had a really bad headache, and I felt like I was going to throw up, and I did throw up a couple times. It came out of nowhere. It was the worst headache I'd ever had in my life, and there was something seriously wrong. And so I had to leave dinner early. I went home, and I was going to call my mom.
Yeah.
So I tried to give her a call, and right when I was about to give her a call, I get a phone call from my sister, and she said, "Are you with Dad?" And I said, "No." She's like, "Mom has a really bad headache. We don't know what's wrong. She fainted, and she's slurring her words, and she's going to go to the hospital. The ambulance is coming." And so I'm just freaking out. I call my dad.
Were you in New Jersey at the time?
I was in Atlanta. So okay. I forgot to I was still living in Atlanta when this happened. So my parents moved me down to Atlanta after I had that conversation. 2 weeks later, my parents moved me down. I was working at that church, and I was there for 2 months. And that day, I told my mom, I'm like, "Mom, I don't want to do this anymore here in Atlanta. I want to, or in Georgia, I want to go and do something else."
Yeah.
I was still in Georgia at the time. And so my mom's all the way in New Jersey. I call my dad, who's also in Georgia, and I just saw him the day before. He was an hour from me. He was away on a 2 month business trip, and he was probably gone for 2 weeks at that point. So he hadn't seen my mom for 2 weeks.
Oh, wow.
And my dad's freaking out. He's all the way in like Timbuktu, Douglasville, Georgia. No offense to those who live there, but it's like in the middle of nowhere. As far as I know. And, so we're all freaking out. That night, I'm with Vanessa and her family. They're all like, "Don't freak out, Holly. It could probably be nothing. Like, your mom is a strong, healthy woman. It's going to be okay." And then I forgot to mention, my worst fear was having a brain aneurysm. It's always been, and I don't know why. I know it's such a weird fear. I've never heard anybody say they're afraid of having a brain aneurysm. It just is like a ticking bomb in your head, is how I view it. And so I always just was like, the worst thing that could ever happen to me is having a brain aneurysm, because you never know when it's coming. It could happen at any point. You could be driving a car, and then all of a sudden you're dead. And so I get a phone call. My sister calls me. They're at the hospital. My cousin Jenny FaceTimes me, and she shows my mom on the camera completely unconscious with a tear rolling down her cheek. And she's like, your mom had a brain aneurysm. And I'm like taken back to that moment of just complete just terror. And it was awful. And the next morning I got on a plane, met my dad at the airport, and I didn't know this at the time, but my friend Vanessa was praying for me on the way to the airport, and she's like, God, at this point, it's like either Holly's gonna lean into you or it's over. Like, she's done with you. And she's praying for me. And like, I saw my mom in the hospital bed, and that is when everything changed for me. And so my true surrender to God started when I began really reflecting on my mom's life and who she was and how real her faith was to her. So that's it.
Wow. And so I know, Holly, you have just, you know, since that time, and even when your mom was in the hospital, I mean, I was praying, thousands of people were praying, and you just shared that so profoundly, like, all over social media. And then I think that, you know, then when we were all praying, and then when she did pass away, you know, you kind of had the opportunity to share with these thousands and thousands of people, like, what you were going to do next, you know, and those, the way that you were going to move forward. And it's just been an incredibly impactful story and place to speak from. So I just wanted to, thank you for your boldness in being able to share this story. And so we're just, thank you for sharing with us. And
Yeah, of course. I'm, you know, thankful that I got the opportunity to share, and sharing online, you know, was, I look back on it now because I haven't posted videos in a little bit. And I feel like God used that time and really, I don't even think it was me. Just sharing the verses and how God was healing my heart with faith. And, you know, it was an honor to be able to be any encouragement to people. And I think my mom, if she was here to say it, she would do everything all over again if she knew that it would cause the impact that it did. And
I think
that's what, like, it's all about.
Yeah, I remember Debbie Ryan, she's come on the podcast a couple of times, and she's a mom. She started her business when she was like 55 years old. And she says, like, the most important job as a parent is to bring your children to Christ. What's so beautiful is that your mom did that. And that's what I'm hearing in the story, is that that was a push. It didn't actually push you away at all. I mean, you're going to get to see her again in the heaven. And what a remarkable, amazing thing that is, that this is only temporary, and it's going to be so much more beautiful in heaven and with our Heavenly Father. But I'd love to hear the most impactful way that you've seen Jesus come through for you and your family in this, you know, unimaginable, difficult season.
Most impactful way. Well, I feel like just the ability to be able to share my mom's story was very impactful for me and my family. I can only speak for myself, I feel like, but it gave me I feel like I found purpose in it. Being able to recognize that my mom left such a legacy. And when I looked at her life, I was like, you know, so much has happened in my life, so many bad things. And I was so caught up on all those bad things for so long and living in the past. And then when I lost my mom, it was like, wow, this life is so not about me, especially when I was sharing it online so much. And I hope I can start sharing again, just what I've been learning. But I think when I shared online, there was so many people that shared their testimonies and how they lost their parent and lost a son or a loved one in some way, somehow. And you start to realize, wow, I'm not the only one going through a hard time, first of all. And I think helping other people and sharing how what God has put on my heart with others has given me, has taken the focus off myself and my own pain and been like, okay, I went through this really hard time, but at least I can help somebody else who's going through it that may not have God or have, you know, that hope. And so, again, just my mom's legacy of glorifying the Lord and she just bringing other people to know him. And she was such a reflection of his character, and she met people where they were at and loved people where they were at. And I just remember thinking, I want to leave a legacy like that. I think for so long, life was all about me and finding happiness. And of course, as a human being, we still stumble into those thoughts of what's in it for me and where can I find temporary joy and happiness and fulfillment. But remembering each day that, you know, it's not about, you know, the duration of our lives, but what we do with our lives and the donation of it and what legacy we're going to leave behind that is truly going to matter at the end of the day. So being able to share that with people really impacted me a lot.
Yeah, Holly, that's just beautiful. And I think what's just kind of incredible about the story that you're sharing with us is that although it's incredibly unique to you and it's just like so personal in so many ways, like I feel like there's this, there's like this almost universal story of falling in love with God and how that changes our perspective and how even in such a horrible tragedy that, you know, he's there and he's real and he loves us. And so I just think that's, I don't know, it's just such a beautiful and incredible testimony. And I really want to talk about your new single that's out. It's called Jesus Eyes. And I obviously was just crying and so proud of you, and it was just amazing. And then we got in the car and I played it for my husband and he was crying, and like we just it's just so beautiful. And I was like, I wouldn't do this to you unless I knew Holly, you know, like I'm not just playing sappy songs, like this is like just incredible song. It's so impactful, it's so beautiful, and it's streaming everywhere. So anybody can go listen to Jesus Eyes. And I would love to hear, about your thoughts behind it. And I know you actually sounded like you were just almost quoting a lyric from it. And so, I'd love for you to share with us, you know, I know it's inspired by your mom, but what inspired you to release the song and, how that came to be?
Yeah, I wrote that song a week and a half after my mom passed away. And I was, you know, I spent 19 days in the hospital just reflecting on her life and who she was to me and who she was to so many people. And I thought I knew who Jesus was before, and I was very cynical. And I'm like, Jesus, you are not good, and I don't know who you think you are, but you need to like get out of my life because you're like really cramping my style and I just need to like be without you. But my mom really showed me the beauty of what it means to have a true relationship with Jesus. And when you get to know him, you truly get to see the world through Jesus' eyes. And I read her Bible, and she had so many prayers for us kids. She had highlighted so many things. It was the most worn Bible I'd ever seen in my life. And I always looked at my mom and I was like, you know, you just, I don't mean this in a mean way, but like, she just let so many things go. Like, you know, so forgiving, so kind. And I feel like we took that for granted. And so many things happened in my mom's life that she should have been bitter about, and any person would have been bitter about, but she chose to find gratitude and give thanks every single day. And she let her mind, it says in Romans 8:6, the mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the spirit is life and peace. And she just focused on everything that is beautiful and heavenly and praiseworthy. And I think that's what made her so beautiful. And it was something I wanted. And I never really understood what made my mom so beautiful to me until I looked at that Bible and I saw those quotes that she had written in the beginning of a new Bible she had started, and they were quotes by Corrie ten Boom. She loved listening to her. And two of the quotes that I loved that stood out to me a lot was, it's not about your the duration of your life, but the donation of your life. And you never know how much you need Christ until he's all that you have. And so I put those lyrics in the song, and that song came easily to me. When I wrote it, I just kind of put it together and I voice memoed it, and I sent it to my friend Zach, who produces my music, and he loved it. And so we recorded it, and it's taken many months for it to finally be done. But I feel like things come out at the time that they need to. Whoever was meant to hear it was supposed to hear it. And it came out actually the week of the shooting, or the week after the shooting. And so I hope that it was able to, if anybody who had gone through that time or was grieving, which I feel like the whole world was and the whole country was, I hope it could have been an encouragement to people who are going through grief and loss, that it's not the end, and, you know, that it's a reminder that we get so focused on this world, and it's such a fleeting vapor of time. So what are we doing with our lives? You know, who are we living our lives for? And is it for ourselves? Is it for temporary happiness? Is it for our own gain, or is it for other people, and pointing people to Jesus and finding joy in even the darkest times? So I think that was the reason I wanted to release it, was to honor my mom, but also to be that reminder. And also it convicts me personally to keep holding on to God, even through when I go through other dark times. And, you know, grief is not a linear thing. So there's moments of, there's hours, days of depression and feeling angry and wanting to just disappear. And it holds me accountable to remember, you know, who's truly in control, and, you know, to hold on to faith.
Yeah. And God doesn't promise, like, just because you follow him, it'll be easier. You know, he's promising he'll be there through all of the hard times.
I love that.
Yeah. Were you going to say something, Jenna?
Yeah, I was just going to say, I think, you know, even listening to the song, it reminded me, you know, the kinds of things that I don't know, the kind of legacy that you want to leave on the earth, and the kinds of things that you want people to say about you, you know, when you do go, and all that kind of stuff. And So I just think, yeah, it was, the song is convicting. It's beautiful. It makes you want to call every single person that you love and like, and thank them for things. And it's, I don't know. I think it's personally convicting. It's, and just so beautiful in so many ways. So I'm just so glad that you not only had the opportunity to create the song, but that you did it, you know, yeah. And that you were able to, you know, I think what I was hearing you saying was that, you know, in this, you know, really difficult time that, God just kind of came in and then you just sort of seemingly automatically went to, yeah, just sharing with others and kind of, mimicking, you know, maybe how you saw your mom care for others. And you just started doing that and started having that outpour. And like a lot of times I think about how when God pours into us and then we can overflow that to others. And so I just think that it's just been so incredible to watch you on social media, just kind of be able to overflow that to so many people.
Thank you.
And one last thing, if you could share one message of hope for our listeners who may be dealing with grief or even fear of grief, what would it be?
I think I would say, again, grief is not a linear thing. And, you know, since everything happened in my life, I've had people come to me that feel like they have to be strong and they have to be stoic and they can't let anybody see that they're struggling. And I think it's okay to not be okay. And it's okay to deal with depression and anxiety and go through the waves of grief. And I pray that people who listen to this, you know, give themselves grace and are gentle with themselves and allow themselves to feel the emotions that they need to, because God gave us emotions for a reason. And he knows that we're human. And, you know, Jesus wept. He felt sadness and he's, you know, been overcome with grief before. And he has felt pain. And so he understands, and he wants us to be honest with him with how we're really doing. And something that really helped me a lot was prayer during that time. I prayed more than I ever had in my life, and that changed my life. And I never really took time to truly have conversation with God, but I would go out in the morning, go for a walk, and talk to him and tell him everything on my heart. And I know he was listening. And I think another thing I'll say is that the enemy wants our faith, and he has studied us from the moment we were born, and he knows our weaknesses. He knows how to get under our skin, and he knows what he's doing. And I pray that people don't let him have a foothold, and to combat that with faith. And one of the last messages my mom sent me was about the armor of God. And I studied that a lot. And that also changed my life. And it helped me understand, like, oh, well, I'm feeling attacked in this way. How can I combat that? And the armor of God really did help me. And just being able to understand that I can fight back, like the enemy shooting arrows at me, by being like, you know what? No, I know more than anything, you don't care how good or bad I'm doing. You just want my faith. And that's what I need more than anything. And I'm not going to let you have it. So that's what I'd say is dig into Jesus and have a relationship with him and spend quality time and allow him to transform your heart, because that will change everything for you. And I'm not saying that your grief will go away. I'm not saying that life is going to be easy. I'm not saying that, you know, it's going to be rainbows and butterflies, but something happens when you decide to praise the Lord, even through the hardest times.
Yeah. It's just such an amazing word of testimony, Holly. Thank you so much for sharing with us. And I know you did a Bible study actually on Job on social media. And it was just so incredible to see you go through that and still be very much dealing with that and being like, okay, well, what are we going to do? I guess we should study Job, because he went through really, really awful, awful stuff. And
yeah,
you know, whatever. So I just think that's so, so awesome. I just love you. I'm so proud of you. Thank you so much for coming onto the podcast today. And for those of us listening, we would just love to keep up with you. Tell us where we can find you, Instagram, TikTok, where we can find your song, all the stuff.
Oh, me? Okay. Yeah. I don't know why I thought you were talking to somebody else. I thought you were talking to the audience. Like, anyway, sorry.
No.
Well, you can find me on TikTok, Holly Silva Music. I'm trying to get into, I'm trying to get back into posting more uplifting Christian content, because that is really what's on my heart. So hopefully I can get going with that again. And then I also sing and share music there. You can follow me on Instagram at Holly Ann Silva, and YouTube is Holly Silva. So, yeah.
Amazing. That's awesome. I can't wait. I'm getting off of here and going to listen to your song because I'm so excited, and that's just awesome. And we just really appreciate you coming on today and just sharing your heart, but also such, you know, a hard thing to go through. It's not always easy to talk about. So just coming on and being able to share just about your mom and keeping that legacy going. It's a true testament right there of what Jesus is giving to us. But we loved having you on today, and we hope to have you back soon.
Yeah, I would love that. Thank you guys so much for having me. It means a lot.
Anytime. And you guys know where you can find us, on njspark.co or njsparkco on Instagram. And before we go, I wanted to read a verse from Psalm 121, 1 through 2. I lift my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Thanks again for joining us. We'll see you back here in 2 weeks.
For those of you who want to listen to Jesus Eyes, we have put it at the end of this podcast, and here it is now.
Hi, honey. It's Mommy. I'm sorry I missed your call. I put my phone down, of course, and walked away. All right, give me a call back.
eyes fall.